Well, good morning, everyone. So let's start with the hardest part of today's gospel. The Lord uses a word that is shocking coming from him or from any of his followers, if you were to think. And the word is hate. Why? Well, in my opinion and how I was raised, this word has no place in our Christian life. Hate is the exact opposite of love. And God is love. And yet there it is, hate spoken to us by Jesus. When I was growing up, my mom did not appreciate when we used the word hate at home. So, for example, back in high school, way long time ago when I had hair down to my shoulders, if I would say to my mom, I says, "I hate my new math teacher. He's mean. He just gives me way too much work. He is so unfair." And my mom would just say to me, "Well, we don't use the word hate. Maybe you dislike his methods or you dislike him, but hate, no." So she would say, "Well, if you can show me if he's been mean to you or unfair, well, then I will go speak to him." But we do not use the word hate in our house. The truth is, I never really liked doing homework. Just get me to my next hockey game. That was my point anyways. But we can feel strongly opposed to someone or something. But we should never hate that person or that thing. Again, hate is the exact opposite of love. The Lord himself in the Sermon on the Mount tells us, "You've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And yet here today in his gospel, the Lord is using that word, a word that he banned himself from his own teaching. "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple." So how are we to understand this? Is Jesus telling us that we, to become his disciples, must become people of hate? Well, that simply makes no sense at all. So let's dig a little bit deeper and see what kind of nugget the Lord is trying to want us to find. Jesus uses extreme phrases and concepts to catch people's attention, to get them emotionally involved. So what is he trying to say to us? Simply, he is saying that in comparison to our love for him, all other love must be so inferior that they can be called the opposite of love. I'll say that again. He is saying that in comparison to our love for him, all other loves must be so inferior that they can be called the opposite of love. This, in our day and age, still is hard to fathom. So let's go a little deeper. Who are you? Who am I? Just reflect for a moment. Who are you? Now, don't be satisfied saying your name. We are much more than Mary or Joe or Rob or Mike or Marco. Go deeper. How do you define yourself? How do I define myself? If you are really truly a follower of Jesus Christ, then this must be the definition of who we are. Each one of us was created as a unique reflection of God's love. A love that became flesh at the annunciation of the angel to Mary and became one of us on Christmas Day. Each one of us is a unique son of God, a unique daughter of God. If we do not include this in our definition of ourselves, then we are missing the whole point of our spiritual lives. The one that we receive at Easter as people, and our baptism as individuals. Now you might be thinking, well, I'm also a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, and so forth. Are these titles part of the definition of who I am? They certainly are. When I made my vows in the sacrament of matrimony, when Father Mike or Father Lou made their vows at the sacrament of holy orders, we were transformed into new people. It's like there was a huge embrace of sacrificial love of the Lord that transforms us into beacons of love. But priesthood, marriage, Christian life, all are meaningless if we do not live that expression of our identity as sons and daughters of God. So I'm going to ask you again, who are you? Who am I? At our best, we are a unique reflection of the love of God. Anything and anyone that prevents us from being that reflection of God's love is unworthy of our true identity. And a beautiful example of this kind of love that Jesus speaks about is described beautifully in Paul's letter today, in his letter to Philemon. You know, Philemon is the shortest of Paul's letter and the shortest book in the New Testament. He's writing to his friend Philemon, asking him to take back a slave who has done something wrong, but under Paul's influence has become a Christian. And Paul speaks with the great affection of this young man, whose father I became while wearing these chains. The boy, Paul says, is part of my own self. Paul asked Philemon to treat the young man, Onesimus, not as a slave anymore, but as a dear brother. Welcome him as you would me. This is a call of that true love. Call for forgiveness. Odysseus may have done something wrong, but it's clear that since his conversion, he is now a changed person, a person that can be trusted and relied on. Even more, as a Christian, he is, in a unique way, brother to his own owner, Philemon. So therefore, no one and nothing can stand in the way of our love of God. I want you to think about this. When we fall into sin, serious sin, we become disjointed. We feel like we've been torn apart. We feel like we're not ourselves. I don't feel like myself very much right now. I don't like who I've become. And I want to go back to the person that I was. When we fall into serious sin, we destroy our very identity. We sacrifice being sons and daughters of God for a lesser, insignificant love. That is the love of ourselves. That is why today's difficult passage, where the Lord uses the word hate, it is immediately followed by his command. Whoever does not carry his own cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. Following the Lord demands total sacrifice of ourselves for him. And this is difficult. So I want you to think about this. What is your cross to bear? What part of your life, as Jesus says in today's gospel, do you need to hate? What part of your life do we need to really examine? Jesus at its very core, wants us to have lives to be lived in total truth and love. That's the goal. Our lives are not to be determined and manipulated by attachments, desires, ambitions, or fear and anxiety, which can become very much the part of ourselves. The Lord wants us to live in total freedom. None of you can be my disciples unless he gives up all his possessions. Any aspect of anything that is lesser than freedom to follow truth and love is to be transcended. Hated, in other words. So are we ready for that? Are we ready to take the determination, to take the drive that each of us, each person has been called to be? We must have that determination, that drive to be true to our identity. Each one of us has been called by God, by a God of love. Anything that prevents us from our unique way of following the Lord is unworthy of who we truly are. This is what it means by picking up and carrying one's cross. This is our cross. It's a cross that we gladly embrace because there is no greater good than a life in union with God. So like that man who constructing the tower or the king contemplating war, we must use our intelligence to complete the work of building up that portion of the body of Christ that each one of us has been created and made, and how we are going to be impacting the world around us. I'm going to share this final thought with you. I was reminded of something that Saint Perpetua said. Perpetua was a Christian noblewoman who at the turn of the third century lived with her husband and son and her slave, Felicitas, in Carthage, Northern Africa. At that time in North Africa, it was the center of a vibrant Christian community. And it was no surprise that when the Emperor Rome wanted to cripple Christianity, he focused his attention on North Africa. Among the first people that he arrested were five new Christians taking classes to prepare for baptism. And one of them was Perpetua. Perpetua's father came to the prison where she was. He was a pagan, and he saw a very easy way out for Perpetua to save her life. He begged her simply to deny that she was a Christian. But this was her response to her father. She says, "Father, do you see the vase here? Could it be called by any other name than what it is?" "No," he replied. "Well, neither can I be called anything other than I am, a Christian." And so are we. Anything that keeps us from being who we are, who we truly are, well, then let's take our cue from the Lord and examine what is blocking us and embrace the true love of God. Have a blessed week.